ESPN's Turon Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week here on the program. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Turon Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. TD, good morning. Happy Friday to you. How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. Happy Friday. How are you guys doing?
We're awesome, man. Good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Been a very busy week in Titans land, so let's just kind of start there. Your impressions of what you've seen and heard from Mike Borgonzi this week as he has been introduced on the job.
Yeah, well, you know, first things first, every time I hear him talk, man, I can't help but think about Ted, you know, that movie Ted with Marky Mark in there. I like the structure that seems to be – I told him that. He started cracking up. But I like the structure that seems to be in place, at least the stated structure, whereas there isn't any, okay, well, I'm pointing at him, he's pointing at another guy, and another guy's pointing at me. It's, okay, look, this is what it is. The head coach is going to answer to the GM. The GM, in essence, is going to answer to me. We're all going to answer to Amy. I think that's good to have that in place. Obviously, pulling a guy from a winning organization should work in your favor. We'll see. So I like it. And then just the approach that he had, right, with Brett Veach, you know, attacking the Pat Mahomes situation. I'm always that same way. Like, when I'm looking at a prospect, and obviously it's at a much, much less degree, but when I'm evaluating a prospect, I'm like, okay, well, what can he do well? You know, and let's see what that is, and then we'll look at what he has to improve upon, but focus on what he could do well. And that's what they did with Mahomes, and look.
So, of all the things, I feel like a lot of the a lot of this talk at the main presser was kind of typical stuff, you know, that you'd get a presser like that. I mean, I think everybody in this league wants smart, dependable, tough players and all that stuff. I thought that the Brinker session you guys had off camera was probably some of the more interesting stuff. But of all the things said, TD, have you been able to draw conclusions? I know your guy Schefter kind of, I think, maybe over-concluded something off what Brinker said in his meeting in terms of, like, the generational talent. But, like, do you feel like you have any more sense for what these guys might do at the top of the draft, at quarterback or anything, based on what you heard this week?
I tell you what was so interesting about that. And it's funny how, you know, quotes from a local media-only meeting come out on a national perspective, you know? It's good to know the tweets are being – and the posts on social media are being read, huh? This is the thing. That statement, it wasn't even the main statement in what Chad Brinker said. And that's what's so crazy to me. And I say all that to say, I come away from it thinking, like, there's a pretty good chance that they move out of that number one pick if somebody wants to move up there. And you look, in that statement that he made, he just said it in passing. He was like, you know, we're going to weigh our options. But, I mean, look, like, we're not going to pass on a generational talent. I want to make 30 draft picks over the next 3 years. I mean, if I can have it my way, I'm going to make 30 draft picks over the next 3 years, and 12 of those are going to be in the top 100. That's the statement that you got to pull out of that. And right, I think when you look at that, this team has two top 100 picks, number one and number 35, this year. And in order to multiply, you got to move that first pick. So to me, and then Borgonzi, on top of that, later, he said that draft picks are the highest currency. And he said, if we have the opportunity to move and acquire more picks, we'll certainly do that. What's it tell you? It doesn't tell you anything about generational talent or any of that foolishness. No, you know what I mean? So I don't know.
TD, how many players in this draft do you think are worthy of the number one overall pick?
I'll go with four. I think no one's really talking about it, but Abdul Carter, man, like, that dude he's a menace, a certified menace, right? You got him, and you got Travis Hunter, who, you know, I'm not going to call generational. Like, people call him generational. I think he's generational on the college level, right, to be able to do what he does. But he's a legitimate big-time playmaker. So let's go that way. And he's a guy that can impact your team, me personally, all on offense. But then you also obviously look at the quarterbacks. And I think both of those guys, and I will say it again, both of those guys – in my opinion, are worthy of being top picks. And, you know, the more I watch the Cam Ward, the more I like him. But, you know, I've remained steadfast that Shedeur Sanders is the best quarterback. They're working together with the same quarterback coach, so that's pretty cool. Four.
So did you read anything into, I guess, the idea of, like, more separation or, I guess, less voice from Brian Callahan, I guess? I mean, this is something Kaharsky nailed Stille on. I feel like today's NFL, I know we all hate the word collaboration, but, I mean, your head coach better be intimately involved in every pick you make. But I don't know, did you take anything from that in terms of, like, you know, it's more like Brian Callahan will be a little bit isolated, or no?
Yeah, no, old X-Files, that's something that he may have pulled from. I didn't pull any of that. I mean, look, it's stated, right? The head coach is going to answer to the GM. Like, I don't understand any form of isolation or anything like that. In fact, I just touched here in Dallas, you know, Callahan, those guys, they're all together going to be looking at Shedeur, looking at the other prospects that are here. That's what they're going to do. They're all going to move on to the Senior Bowl. So it's not like, hey, you know, you're not invited to the party, Brian. It's all us that's going to have the fun. No, he's a part of it.
TD, I want to double back with you on Cam Ward. You said the more that you watch him, the more you like him. What specifically is it about Ward that has really kind of caught your eye here?
It's just the playmaking ability. I love it. And, you know, when you are able to watch the All-22 as opposed to, you know, the TV copy, you could actually see, like, how receivers are playing off of him as far as, like, you know, seeing him able to buy time in the pocket, you know, extending the plays, and they uncover and then they connect. You see that. But then you can really see how he just makes defenses, his presence, you know, attacking the line of scrimmage, right? And it moves defenders and allows guys to get open. And it's just fun to watch that. And then just, you know, some of the things that you see him doing pre-snap, now you could see that to an extent on TV, but, you know, when you watch the All-22, like, you see him and you see the receivers and they're going back and forth and you see him give them a signal and then, you know, it changes. Like, you look at the Virginia Tech game. Early in that game, they had a long throw along the sideline. And it was a change that he made. You know, he checked out of a play and into another one, and it was like a 30-something yard gain. Those are all things that you like, man. It's fun to watch.
So, TD, the Titans have hired a big-time special teams coach and apparently the assistant, too. Haven't heard anything definitive on Colt Anderson. Questions on the staff. One, is there any reason to think that Colt Anderson might still have a place on this staff? And two, if this is it, are you surprised that they're basically going with the rest of the group other than at special teams?
No, look, you know, from what I gathered, Colt Anderson and Anthony Levine, you can't forget about him, the assistant special teams coach. Nothing has been determined on either one of them. So it's reasonable to think that there's, you know, a chance that they remain because they haven't been fired. You know what I mean? So that's the way I look at that. Look, getting, as they call him, Bones Fassel, like getting him is a major coup. And I think you got to look at, you know, how he's been able to identify players and bring them in and have them be impact returners. Because we know it's been since 2020 where a return has happened for a touchdown on special teams, you know, and that was A.J. Brown on an onside kick. So make of that what you will. And the last time a punt was returned, I think 2012. So it's been a while.
Yep, no doubt about that. TD, great stuff, man, as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us today. And have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks. You too. Take care.
Absolutely. Teron Davenport, our guest here on the program. We'll react to what TD had to say there on the Titans. We'll get into Pigskin Pick'em coming up later this hour as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.